First things first.
Things first, it's the DU General, Money P. I'ma put you up on the schedule, 6 to 9, 8 weekdays, not too unserious. We got a lot to talk about, so much to pedal through. Unapologetically progressive, tune to KBLA 1580 to get the mess. We're your ancestors' favorite radio station. First black on talk radio, left side of the nation. First. Me and Dominique De Prima go way back. Tag Smiley making sure the station stays black. Discussing all the issues in our community. We're hosts of black and brown and others find unity. So let's talk about it. Maybe we can improve it. Digital underground, always down with the moon. Come on. So we tune in. The first things first with the queen of black talk radio, Dominique De Prima. Go sis.
Talk 1580. Good morning. Happy Monday. God bless. I'm Dominique DePrima. The show is called First Things First. And my first thing today and tomorrow, giving thanks, giving praise, asking for blessings from God, asking for the blessings of the ancestors and the elders, and then doing a radio show. Okay. And this is how we do it. Hour one, we look at what's going on locally. Left Coast, what we like to call the Pacific Ocean side of town. Hour two, we go national, international, and beyond, beyond, beyond. Hour three, we do a deep dive with a person or persons of interest or a hot topic. Today, our topic, we're going to focus on 429 protest then and now. Well, we really probably should start in 1965 or even before then, but we're going to talk about protest, the history of protest, rights to protest. Attorney Jaye Person Lin will be joining me in the studio to do just that. You know, he's always got an angle for you, the Lincoln lawyer. We are on a Monday, so we'll be hearing from Sahara Ali, get our guided meditation. We do that at the top of the second hour. Just get ourselves together for the week, set our intentions, do a little breath work, get a tiny astrological preview. Oh, yeah, we got a lot going on around here. In hour one, my partner in politics for today is a journalist, written and spoken. He has a podcast called The Conversation Live. He's also a writer for the LA Progressive and other spots. You'll find his work. James Farr is joining me in the studio as well. Hi, James.
Good morning, Dominique. How you doing?
Good, good. James is now an official KBLA contributor. And for, you know, when you come in, you got to get a nickname. I think you're the social media king.
Social media king.
So, I don't know. We got to work on that. It may need some tweaking.
That's a little bit different than buttoned up or stuffy. Well,
I never said stuffy. I did say traditional. But, you know.
Yes, yes. But we are fact-based, evidence-based. Yes.
Well, yeah. Okay. I'm fact-based, too. I just talk a lot of smack.
Yes.
You're more fact-based. I did say buttoned up, and I meant it.
I know you did. And you know what? I embraced it. But it's
the best of Virgo.
Buttoned up.
He's a Virgo, by the way.
I am living my best Virgo life.
Yes, indeed, you are. And LAProgressive.com is where you can find his work, among many other places. And you're invited in. 800-920-1580, 800-920-1580. Social media king, by the way, was a compliment. I'm trying to be more like that.
You know what? I'm not going to cap, right? Because I deal with facts versus cap. I have a little help with putting out some of the content. And so it's fun, you know what I mean? Because people are really engaging. Obviously, they're getting a lot of their information and media through social media, right? And so It's a fun effort in terms of raising the awareness of the KBLA delegation, as well as some of the other things that I'm working on.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate that, too. Tell them where to find you.
At James Farr Live across all platforms. If you want to check out the podcast, that's Conversation Live. But again, James Farr at all platforms.
And of course, you can find me at DePrima Radio. That's DIPRIMA and then radio. And you can find KBLA. Well, hopefully you've already found us. We are at KBLA 1580 everywhere. And right now, we're streaming on YouTube. If you want to see me and see James, get in the chat. Join the fellowship. It's all good. Today is what, 32 years
32.
Since LA's civil unrest, and since we're broadcasting from Leimert Park, we would be remiss if we didn't mention that. It was actually, I was in the Bay when that happened, and people in the Bay took to the streets too.
Yeah. I too, you know, so we had that commonality. I wasn't here in LA yet, but you know, watching the reactions on television, I mean, I can only imagine if we had like the 24-hour news cycle that we live with now in social media, what we would have seen, right? But you're right. People in the Bay Area took to the streets. I myself took to the streets.
I went to Glide Memorial Church. Where did you go?
Well,
you can't.
We're not going to talk about
criminality. I mean, there was a march between the television station where I work and the Glide Memorial Church. There's quite a bit of territory between there and there. Mm-hmm. If you're familiar with San Francisco, there was a lot of marching going on, and people were breaking stuff and burning stuff. I mean, I know it was nothing like LA, but it was pretty intense.
It was. I mean, like I said, just I think about, you know, gosh, I was 18 when that happened. And
I think I was 7. Yeah, maybe I believe 5.
I
had a job at the TV
six
station.
Six and a half.
But, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but, you know, as you know, the younger James, you know, coming out of that NWA phase of music and kind of where our, you know, just what the feeling was in the community and in the streets, it was truly FTP, right? Like, I mean, we saw.
Oh, for sure.
You know, we saw what we saw, and then we were asked to believe our lying eyes, right? And then to see these officers, you know, I now understand what Simi Valley is. I didn't have context back then, right?
Same. Like,
so to understand that.
They could have just told us Pacific Heights, though, or, you know, Montecito.
Right, right.
We would have got the idea.
We would have got it right there up there in Kensington. Anyway, and so, and so, you know, when you saw that verdict come out, right, mm-hmm. and. It was almost like the wind went out of a young 18-year-old James's chest, right? It's like there is no justice because and if there isn't going to be any justice, perhaps there shouldn't be any peace. But I don't necessarily fault folks who took to the streets. I think that was a jury verdict that triggered folks' reaction from years and years of abuse. And it didn't matter if you were in L.A., if you were in Richmond, if you were in San Francisco, Oakland, Chicago, it didn't matter, right? These were lived experiences that, you know, I can recall. There are portions of San Pablo Avenue, and for folks that don't know the Bay, but San Pablo Avenue in the East Bay, where we just didn't drive down after a certain time. There are certain communities, while they weren't advertised as sundown towns, it was just places you didn't go, or you risked having a pistol pulled on you by the rollers. So it was a lot to process at that time.
Yeah, I think the stark gap in reality between, you know, Black America and other America showed up then. And I remember, actually, I was a junior reporter at that time for KRON-TV, which is the NBC affiliate. And I was doing my show Home Turf, which was an early hip hop show, for those who don't know it, before any of the other ones.
You being so modest.
But
go ahead.
The news department was like, let's send Dominique, right? Because I'm Black and I'm supposed to be a reporter. And we got in a truck and started to go. And then they called me back. They were like, nope, we're not going to have something happen to you out there, which is weird, but I guess it's because I was young. And so I just headed to Glide, mm-hmm. But where people were protesting and organizing. And I just think it's really kind of ironic and sad that both Reverend Cecil Murray, who was so instrumental in helping good come out of 92, mm-hmm. Has made his transition. And why am I blanking on his name? The other Cecil, the pastor of Glide Memorial Church.
San Francisco, yes, yes, yes.
They also, Pastor Cecil, he also made his transition. And, you know, here we are 30-something years in. Cecil Williams is his name. Yeah.
Yes. You know, I was watching some stuff last night from the civil unrest, some of the news coverage, and Pastor Chip Murray, you know, And we see iterations of people like him. I can think of Pastor Q. I can think of Pastor Shep. You know, and I don't want to get into the naming of folks, as I'll get in trouble and forget somebody. But to see him take to the community, you know, the community had a communication line. You know, I heard him talking about that they had brothers at 20 different churches throughout the community that basically they were going out because rumor control was a big thing at that time. You know, there were a lot of things that were purported to have happened that may not have happened, but it was utter chaos. But his leadership at that time for the LA community was so admirable, and being out there with the community and trying to bring some peace to a very uncomfortable situation. But as riots, or as some call it, a riot, a civil unrest, whatever you want to call it, you know, there is about a 72-hour life cycle that comes with that. And so we saw that kind of play out.
Unless you're Arab Spring or somebody the United States, it's about a 72-hour.
But you know what's interesting? A couple of years ago, I had a chance. I was working on another assignment, another story, and I went up in a helicopter, police helicopter, and they had some time, and it was on this exact day. So we had some time and they flew over LA. So from the ground, yeah, we see a lot of rebuilding, but you can also see pockets of just vacant land. And it looks very different from the air than it does down here on the ground.
Well, let me get this right. You went up in the police helicopter and they let you back down? As much stuff as you talk about the police.
And if I weren't a man of integrity, I would have omitted the police part of it. Yes, I was on an assignment and I went up in a police helicopter.
No, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that. I went on a one time Chief Bernard Parks thought that he could cure my mouth when it came to criticizing LAPD.
Cure.
By taking me on having me do this
ride along.
No, it wasn't a ride along. I've done that too. But this was this thing where you simulate being a cop.
Yes.
And, you know, you have to, it's electronic, digital. Mm-hmm. And you have to shoot when you see if you feel like you're being threatened, or not shoot. And you have to decide. And, you know, I died because I'm not going to shoot if I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But he was trying to show me. And I wasn't impressed either, because I'm like, well, you know what? I did pretty well and I'm not trained. Right.
Well,
you're supposed to be trained not to kill innocent civilians. So I think it kind of backfired on him. But the idea was to make me understand more the positions that officers find themselves in.
Well, spoiler alert, those scenarios are designed for you to fail.
Right.
It is propaganda.
Or copaganda, as we like to call it. Speaking of which, James, when we come forward, James Farr has, as usual, another startling conversation about what's going on with the Pasadena PD. That, and we're taking your phone calls, 800-920-1580, 800-920-1580. We are, yep, unapologetically progressive, KBLA Talk 1580.
She's reclaiming her time on KBLA Talk 1580. More First Things First with Dominic DePrima when we come forward. Your ancestors' favorite radio station, and your favorite morning show host. Let's get back to Dominic DePrima right now.
Right now. Right now, indeed. So much to talk about. We'd have to be speed reading and doing Donald Duck voices. So we're going to get to what we can get to, and you're very welcome to call in if you want to put something on the table. 800-920-1580, 800-920-1580. Rodney Brown in the chat says, rest in peace, Cecil Williams. Riots are the voice of the unheard. Courtney Edwards says, our people have dealt with a long history of racism in every corner of this injustice upon the people. Molly Bell says, reparations in memory of our ancestors, and God bless morning to all of us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. She said, April 29th, 1992, it was on the LA 4 Plus. I feel like we're still struggling with a lot of those issues today.
Absolutely.
And, you know, even though we have seen a lot of progress, and I think that's underreported. I mean, one thing I always point to is the fact that in LA, the police chief is now a 5-year term.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to be reappointed or replaced. We've got a nationwide search going on right now for a new police chief. Pasadena seems to have a police chief revolving door. So what's the latest on the latest police chief?
Well, our current police chief, and we've had five in probably the last 5-6 years at this point, but our current police chief, Eugene Harris, it looks like he's having some challenges.
Who's black?
Yeah, he's black. Who also we're not being critical of because he's black. We're being critical of because of policing, right, and administrative issues. But Chief Harris has seemed to be having some challenges with adjusting to this type of community that he's having to police, and that there are activists that are going to call you on what they don't like or what they see. And so in this case, just about a couple of weeks ago, Harris went before our Police Oversight Commission meeting in a planning session and was endeavoring to use his influence to ask the commission to censor two activists who have spoken out in public meetings.
Did he go to USC? Is he a USC grad?
No, he's definitely an FBI Academy grad, but that's another story. And so in that, the problem with it is a couple of things that just blatantly jumped out of that situation. One, the city has a clear policy by resolution on how decorum and who is to administer procedures in said meetings. So that's the first problem. That falls to the chair of a meeting. That falls to the mayor or whoever the city official is that's leading the meeting. What am I saying? It's not the police's job to police public speakers in a meeting. Well, in this situation, some of the speakers...
Tell that to the LA City Council, I'm just saying.
Yeah. In this situation, two of the speakers used some language that I won't repeat, but I did publish the language that was used. Now, I may not use that kind of language. You may not use that kind of language, Dominic, and I don't even think we can say that kind of language on air. But Harris chose to repeat that language, which made members of that committee, some women, very uncomfortable. Like it was, you know.
Was he mimicking them? Why would you do that?
Well, I don't know. You know, they say you can't get in somebody's mind, right? And he's not actually answering questions about the situation. But what I did before I wrote this piece, I talked to three HR professionals with over 100 years of HR experience, right? And they said, under no circumstance is it ever appropriate for anyone, certainly a chief of police at this level, to use that type of language in a meeting. It's unacceptable. I mean, and for those that, you know, you can read it at the LA Progressive, but just imagine DJT, grab them, you know, that kind of, like, why would you repeat something so vulgar, right? Even though that's what the two commenters, in the public comments, they use that language, but they didn't yell fire. They weren't threatening anyone. I mean, they were expressing their discontent. And so,
yeah, I mean, I do agree that that's not appropriate in a public meeting. Of course, you wonder what Death Row Records meetings sounded like, or even, you know, I don't know. No, you know, there are contexts where that happens. I've seen it at radio stations, not this one, but others. And so some of it has to do with the culture of the place, right? But to me, all of that is different if you're the chief of police, because you have a different kind of authority, stature. You're carrying a weapon at all times. We just don't want you to seem unhinged.
Yeah, there's a standard of professionalism, right, that's just acceceptable and isn't acceptable, right? I mean, some of the words I could say on air, they don't violate the FCC, but I'm not going to do that because that's not what we do here at KBLA. But it's very troubling. It's very disturbing because the activist Jasmine Abdullah Richards has long claimed that she is being targeted and harassed by the police. Many thought it was doing.
She was actually arrested and prosecuted. So
she was.
It's not irrational to say you're targeted by the police when you've been arrested, prosecuted, and convicted.
Well, I mean,
for activities in relationship to protesting.
They have a propensity to send her summons in the mail. They won't even serve her. Like, whenever she is advocating for a community member who's having contact with the police, rather than deal with her on the scene, they'll typically just mail her a summons and charge her with, you know, disturbing. But I think in this situation, what it does do is give a lot of credibility to what Jasmine is saying. I mean, for the chief to single her out is very problematic.
Yep, it is. Yeah, and she got a bad deal in court for sure many years ago. That said, speaking of people just saying wildly inappropriate things, I witnessed this myself at one protest, and I've heard from a lot of others that, you know, aside from the travesty of sending police in to arrest students who are exercising their constitutional right under the guise of safety, which is really what, I mean, I'm not saying UCLA is a fascist state institution, but it is what fascists do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, everything is about safety, so we're going to take away all of your rights.
Mm-hmm.
Those students have a right to protest. They have a right to speak out. Oh, it's violating our rules about where you can put a tent, or, you know what, slow your roll. And I think what we're seeing right now with UCLA having massive student protests and no arrests, it really kind of makes USC look even worse, because UCLA hired private security,
mm-hmm,
and didn't call in the cops. But what I was going to say that I've seen is I've seen counter protesters, and the people that tend to, I think, counter protest, I don't think they're just regular Jewish Americans. I think they're very like militant conservative right wing folks out there calling people the N-word, running across and trying to push people or attack people, looking to provoke violence is what I've seen with my own eyes. And I feel like they can do that because they know that the press is going to blame anti-Semitism and blame the protesters and not the counter-protesters. So it's like the perfect setup for agent provocateur type stuff or just general provocateurism within the context of these protests. And this is where I think we, the press, are complicit by not telling the whole story or being more specific. Every time, you know, and we saw this, I saw this in one protest where the police were actually stopping these conservative, ultra-conservative Jewish guys from running into the crowd where there were students and others protesting and trying to beat people up.
Yeah, well, there's always been crash dummies at protests. You know, you call them counter protesters, and there are always going to be those who are going to take that opportunity to agitate, or, you know, as you talked saying earlier, agent provocateurs. Of course, there's no place for hate speech, and but there also is a place, right? I mean, it is. I don't have to like what you say, Dominique. You know, but I support your right to say it, right? As hateful as it is.
So they can come to protests and say the N-word. Here's the thing that I...
If I can go to a concert or be in any willy-nilly place and hear the N-word by
somebody. I mean, I understand that. But I do think it's telling, and this is, you know, we can talk more about this after news, traffic, and sports, that when you know, police officers go into Nazi protests, they don't feel the need to drag people around, throw them to the ground, arrest them roughly like what we saw at USC. They don't feel the need. Why is it more provocative and evocative for Black people or, you know, Palestinians to protest for their rights than for white folks to spew hate? Why is that double standard there? 800-920-1580 or KBLA Talk 1580.
More of First Things First with Dominique DePrima when we come forward. Thanks for waking up with Dominique DePrima on KBLA Talk 1580.
Oh my goodness, today is the day, James Farr. You can join the LA County Department of Economic Opportunity, the City of Los Angeles, and Supervisor Holly Mitchell at the LA Coliseum. They're launching the Los Angeles Region Small Business Summits. The launch is today from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and you can find out about all these new services and support that are available for businesses. It's called the Economic Mobility Initiative. There's other free programs that will be there also in support of small businesses, in support of individual entrepreneurs, and nonprofit corporations. You can visit LACountyEMI.com to register, LACountyEMI.com to register. But that again, is happening at the Coliseum starting at 9 o'clock this morning.
You know, that's a great opportunity for folks, right? Because, you know, when we think about it, we're 4 years out from the Olympics. And so this region is going to get crushed with opportunities. Mm. And so it's a great opportunity if you're thinking about getting your business straight, if you've had some setbacks, you know, coming out of 2020 and the pandemic. This is a great opportunity and a great resource, and it's free, right?
It's free, 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 free.
Free, free.
And once again, I feel like for some reason as Black folks and other progressives, but specifically Black people, we sometimes miss these opportunities, you know, these kind of free support services, grants.
It's misinformation, right? I mean, it is just being uninformed, right? And that's not a bad thing, right? But you have to listen to places like KBLA, listen to Dominique, follow Black media who are giving you the Sentinel, I can Progressive name a bunch of them. They're promoting these initiatives and opportunities for our audiences. But people think, ah, man, that's a scam, or that's not really for me, or I don't qualify. But if you don't take the time, right? I filled out grant applications before. I've done a bunch of different things and would have never gotten a yes had I not put in the work, right?
Right, you got to play to win.
You got to play to win. I mean, I don't ever expect to win the lottery because I don't buy tickets, right? So I'm not.
Yeah, you kind of do have to buy tickets.
I'm not disappointed.
I don't either, but it's because I think I'm, you know, I'm lucky in life. I don't think I'll be lucky in the lottery.
You know, the way life has been so good to me, I feel like I'm a find a winning ticket on the ground.
Paul Lee's talking about what I was saying regarding those protests. You see these conservatives, hard right wing Jewish groups come and try to run it. And they're not even all Jewish. Some of them, ironically, are Nazis. And they try to run in, and you had UCLA security and others, you know, in UCLA's case, in one case I saw, it was LAPD stopping them. I've never seen that before, in order to keep it from escalating. But if something happened, it would surely be blamed on the students and surely be blamed.
Hate has some strange allies, right?
Yeah.
Who would think?
Paul,
Zionists
Paul,
and
says,
Nazis.
He says, yeah, really. He says, I saw that too. The bait and switch game doesn't take Einstein to see the bad characters implanted ops. Sometimes it does take, I don't know about Einstein, but somebody, I think about, you know, Geronimo Pratt and Geronimo G. Jaga. When you saw that informant, mm-hmm. I can't think of his name right now. Is it Julius Butler? Might be Julius Butler. They had G. Jaga in prison for 27 years before
right.
they realized that guy was a lying plant.
Well,
anyway.
I think SC got it wrong, clearly, right? In terms
is
of how,
getting it wrong.
Getting, yeah, because it's still ongoing. Perhaps UCLA took a different approach because they are a public institution.
Yeah. The Times was talking about that, the LA Times, how they have to, because they're a public institution, they have to at least pretend that they are honoring free speech. But to me, and so if you're a private institution, you don't have to, but to me, you should, because you're an academic institution, and you couldn't have a more teachable moment than this.
Well, what the private institution can do is
whatever they want.
Block access to the campus, right?
Right.
They can't. Well, they are, right? And we saw the result of that. But they, too, can't censor what students say, right? It's their right to speak out.
They are. What they said is you don't have a right to be a commencement speaker. That's true. But you picked her. And
no,
when you are valedictorian.
Let's be clear.
Yeah,
they didn't pick her. She earned
it. Well, yeah. But they selected between all the 3.95 and up
sure.
GPA. Yeah, she earned it, but they picked her out of a group of high achievers, and valedictorians speak. That's one of the things they most are most known for. Now they've called off their graduation, which I hate, and I hope they reverse that situation because it's not fair. Those students deserve to walk. Most of them didn't even get high school graduations.
Well, they've canceled the main graduation. The individual schools will still have the graduation.
The individual schools now, we're starting to see commencement speakers canceling because they're boycotting USC.
You know, rightfully so, right? I mean, if they're going to be censoring free speech, I mean, just 2 weeks ago, I spoke at Professor Jody Armour's class, and a reader reached out to me because social media, who teaches at USC Gould Law School of Law, College of Law, asked me, "You're going to speak there, and they're doing this," and I'm like, "Yeah." That was 2 weeks ago, so I certainly understand now why certain speakers and individuals, they don't want anything to do with this. Like, this is not a proud moment.
This novelist named C. Pam Zhang and UCLA professor and author Sophia Unoble wrote to Carol Fault, who's the president of USC, and said, "We are withdrawing as commencement speakers. To speak at USC in this moment would betray not only our own values, but USC's too." That is partly in protest for removing the commencement speaker. I think they're going to set off a run of people pulling out.
I see that coming. And I said a couple of weeks ago, we're going to see within the next, let's say, week or so, next 10 days, especially as we get closer to these commencement ceremonies across the country. I mean, there's already active campuses, maybe 20 across the nation. I think we're going to see more students. I mean, who better to speak out, right? Like, these are our young, bright minds who have the time, right?
And also, it's kind of their job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And many of them, and I know we don't have time to get into national stuff, but many of these young people are totally dejected and disenfranchised with this current two-party system and how we end up in this mess.
Yeah, we can talk a little bit more about that since our friend and colleague is running for vice president. But let's go to Alamo, calling us from Richmond. Hi, Alamo.
Good morning, everybody.
What's morning, on your Alamo. Mind?
Oh, there's a lot on my mind. I want to talk about the Rodney King situation. Of course, this is the 32nd anniversary of the L.A. riots and all that. And I heard you all speaking about it earlier this morning.
And the Bay Area riots, too.
Yes, ma'am, from a Bay Area perspective. I grew up in Richmond, California, along with Mr. Farr. And so Mr. Farr mentioned he was 18 years of age. I'm a little older than he is, shall I say. However, during those times, there was some really, really unfortunate circumstances that led up to the riots, of course. And I mentioned earlier that the riots are the voice of the unheard. And with that being said, we see the residuals of what that looked like. James said he took a ride in a helicopter, and he saw the landscape of what Los Angeles or that particular area looks like to this present day. When we talked about the riots and what it did, and I'm talking about the residual results of buildings being burned down, folks having buildings within their own confines in their neighborhoods and weren't able to access certain resources that they needed. But at the same time, those things, you know, usually occur with that particular reason. But however, I just wanted to call in this morning and say thank you all for this wonderful show. I love the platform. I'll definitely be tuning in again. It's my first time actually tuning in, but I love the way it's going down. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. And Alamo, if you notice, in 2020, LA at least learned a lesson, right? There was not protesting happening in South Los Angeles where the black folks are. Not much. It was in Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. It was in Bel Air, downtown, Hollywood. And I think that is part of the reason why there was so much panic about it in the mainstream media.
You know what? Speaking of 2020, it eerily feels like 2020 minus the pandemic right now in terms of, because it's April 29th. I believe George Floyd was murdered on May. It was closer to June, right? So with all of these protests and this it's not quite yet civil unrest, although it looks that way on this college campuses, but we are in the middle of an election cycle. We're treading very much on this area where people are unsure again, all over again.
Unsure about what?
their political future.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we saw one president.
What we should have been feeling in 2016.
We're in 24 now.
I was feeling secure that he wasn't going to get in.
I could tell
now
you.
Now I don't.
And that's the uncertainty, right? I mean, but for your favorite president.
Which way, USA?
You know, fumbling, flat out ruining, messing up the pandemic, he would have had another term.
I don't know about that. Maybe. I don't know.
I mean,
but the stunning thing is he really could now.
He really could now.
Even more so
than 4 years ago.
Even though he's managing his court calendar, I think he's able to campaign Wednesday. Wednesday this week, because court doesn't open until Tuesday, and Tuesday's just hearings. So he gets 2 days to campaign this week, but the rest of the time,
I think he says something like, it's nothing to a boss, right? Like he's so confident in where he's standing. And if you remember, it's not like he lost by a lot in the last election cycle.
It depends how you count it.
Well, I think more people.
It's not like he lost by a lot in 2016 either. I mean, he did lose. He's never won the popular vote. Never.
Never won the popular vote.
Let us be clear about that.
Right.
People like to say 50% of America. No, not 50% of America. Less than 50% of the jokers who actually went to the polls wanted him.
But
that's not 50% of America.
What I found is that people who were on the Biden side, right, were absolutely shocked that he got as many votes as they did. I'm like, what planet are you still shocked?
Like,
what planet are you living on?
How are you? Okay, this is national, but it impacts us. Were you surprised that Biden said now he wants to debate him? Because it seemed like he was kind of dodging him a little bit.
You know what? I think he's desperate.
Biden?
Yes, the DNC is desperate.
Yeah. And I'm glad.
Desperate people make the worst decisions.
Well, I think you think it's a bad decision to debate Trump? I think it's a great decision. Quit hiding. Don't do what Hillary Clinton did. Hillary Clinton debated Trump, but she didn't make those press appearances. She didn't glad hand the people. She thought she had it in the bag. Go out on a limb.
I agree. It is the smart thing to do, right? But I think the two of them, I think Trump will obliterate.
Really?
I mean, it'll be a clown show.
You think Trump is going to mop up the floor with Biden?
In a debate? Absolutely.
I don't. As long as Biden doesn't try to play Trump's game, if he can stay presidential, he wins. Because Trump is full of crap.
But
he lies so much. And all you have to do is sit back and let the fact checkers fact check.
But
presidential and stick to your talking point.
His record of lying is what it is.
It hasn't done anything to stop him.
It hasn't done anything to stop him. And
so far.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of privilege that comes with that so far, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people wouldn't have got that far, right?
You're president, yes. That's pretty much the ultimate.
So, no, I think, DJT will obliterate Biden in a debate, because Biden will have to stay on the rails, and we are in an age.
I think you're underestimating the old man.
Mess sales. And that's what it's going to be, a whole mess.
Yeah, so... See, I think Biden just needs to do rope-a-dope. He needs to be Ali. Make your points. Don't react to every little stupid thing Trump says. Don't let him taunt you. He can call you Sleepy Joe. He's the one sleeping. You know, let his stupidity play itself out. Because I think that if Biden doesn't take the bait, Trump's going to keep escalating until he looks even more ridiculous than usual.
We'll see.
We'll see. They need me in there to coach the president.
But I'm
available for a small fee.
Small fee. But there are other options.
Yeah, I'd do it for my country.
There are other options and folks seeking access to the ballot. So.
Yeah, we can talk about that when we come forward. I kind of think I know which way you're leaning. You're listening to KBLA Talk 1580.
Lean back.
KBLA Talk 1580 is an intervention. When we come forward, includes you. KBLA Talk 1580, turning pain into power. This is KBLA Talk 1580, where everybody is somebody and nobody is a stranger. You belong here.
Can't believe how many things we're not even going to get to in this local hour. The four probation officers are taken off the job for being involved in that violence. Youth on so-called youth on youth violence. I don't know. Is that Fight Club? The deputy who was found unresponsive in a South LA sheriff's station is now died. A sheriff deputy in Riverside was arrested along with 14 other people for being part of a drug operation, a massive drug operation with the Sinaloa cartel. I mean, these are the things we haven't had time to get to this morning.
Metro's not safe for some, or some feel that way. That's really
the world is not safe. Metro's not safe. So does that mean? I mean, the board was talking about what to do about it. They're talking about forming their own police force. That's never good.
Yeah, I don't see that as a viable option. I mean,
that's a tough conundrum because, you know, if you put cops on the trains, they're going to harass people, kill people, beat people up. If you don't put cops on the trains and the crime continues, people aren't going to ride the metro. So what do you do?
Well, you know, we have to keep us safe, right, and be vigilant. Unfortunately, this is where we are as a society, right? But if you put police on in that space, police are going to police, right? To police or to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So they're going to be enforcement, and then we're going to end up in other situations that none of us want.
I mean, here's one idea, same one I had for New York. They need to just make the metro free. And then they don't have to chase people for fare evasion.
Well, I mean, controlled access points. So when they first put the metro rail out here, we grew up on BART, right? You could hop the turnstile, right? But there was a controlled entry point, at least as a deterrent, right? Here, most of the stations, when this rail system came online, you just walked right on. So I don't know that free is an option, because then you have loitering or kind of people.
You have it anyway.
You do. But you would have
cops don't have to chase, beat, and shoot people for fare evasion.
They don't have to do it now.
But they do.
They're going to do what they do, right?
Well, okay. Said one of the main people trying to write about it and stop them from doing what they
no,
do.
No, I'm not. What I'm saying is police are going to police, right?
But there's more than one way to police. We want to get to a humane.
Oh, you're talking about public safety.
Real public safety.
Yeah, and you're talking about peace officers.
Actual,
right?
Public safety.
Yeah, so maybe that's what
the kind of
want.
Public safety where the public is safe.
Right.
That kind.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Not the forest that police keep us safe, right? No, not that one.
you wanted to talk about, well, you mentioned that this is Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yeah, coming next May, and it's so important in our community, right? You know, we don't talk about mental health. We don't talk about the stigmas. We don't talk about mental health wellness. And so next Sunday, May 5th, Set for Life is an all-volunteer organization, and they're hosting an event called ACTS, which is After Church Talks. And it was funded by a grant through Los Angeles County Health Department. But what we're looking to do is to have these conversations in spaces with Black folks, kind of that intersection of church. God can do it, right? But God also gave us doctors. God also gave us therapists. God also gave us other tools. And so if we start thinking about our mental health as mental wellness, right? Like if you hurt your foot, you go to a doctor, right? You hurt your brain, you need to find spaces where you can process this information and talk it out. So we want to, you know, kind of demystify what that space is. So it's a free event, Set for Life. You can follow it on my page. Free food. I mean, it's an incredible soul food dinner.
James Farr Live is your page.
James Farr Live. Yeah, you can find it on the socials. Yeah.
So what time?
Starts at 2. It's 2 to 4. And I'm one of the keynote speakers at
2
the
to
event.
4, Cinco de Mayo.
Well, you know what? That's early.
That's
first
perfect.
Of all, it's Black Church. targeting more a more chronologically mature audience, right? So, you know, those who want to have the taco Cinco de Mayo
taco
thing.
Sunday.
Yeah. You can do that before. Well, don't do it before, but do it afterwards, right? But it's really, we're seeing a lot of elders who are aging in place.
Yeah.
You have intergenerational homes where, you know, grandma is 67 raising an 8-year-old, right?
And yeah. That's
she don't understand Facebook or TikTok or none of this stuff. So we want to provide these folks with some resources.
And where is this taking place?
This is in Pasadena and at we don't have enough time for me to pull it up.
James Farlight.
Yeah, follow it on James Farlight, okay, but in Pasadena, setforlife.org.
Or you can text me when you're on your way back to Pasadena,
yes.
And I'll say it.
I appreciate that.
Go hear James speak. That's a great thing to do for Cinco de Mayo, and also get a chance for some fellowship for in pursuit of mental health.
Absolutely.
James Farr, as always, it's great to see you. Thanks for all the work that you do.
Thank you, Dominic.
Find them at the LAProgressive.org or James Farr Live. We've got Mindful Monday next, and then more of your phone calls on KBLA Talk 1580.